Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Bobby Simpson, and you know, we have various people on the program from time to time to talk about books, and the books deal with all kinds of stuff, but this one is a very special book. It's somewhat unique, but I love the title and the description, Thoughts for Tuesday, Gold Medal Wisdom for Life. Bobby Simpson is the author, and Bobby is a man who has coached not only athletes to greatness, but he has coached business people and all kinds of folks who want to do better, want to improve, believe that where they are is not as far as they're able to go. And Bobby founded Getting Better Every Day Incorporated back in 1989 and based it on the purposes and principles stated in the hymn Higher Ground. And so he has been helping folks. I'm looking at all the different, it's such a broad spectrum of organizations and individuals that he's worked with and teams he's worked with. Let's just say he helps people succeed. So I like the fact that the book is broken into bite-sized pieces. And it starts back in 2007 and walks forward through 2012, but it is not outdated. It is counsel and encouragement that can make a world of difference for people who put God's principles into practice. So Bobby, thank you for coming on the broadcast with us.
Very glad to be here. I appreciate the opportunity that God's given me, and I look forward to our conversation. And I've read quite a bit on your website and truly admire all the work that you're doing there, Jim.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. You had heart surgery.
Yes, I did.
And I've had heart surgery, and okay. That's sort of a life-changing experience, isn't it?
It made me think seriously about some things that I thought I'd been thinking about. But it revved it up a notch or two.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that you speak very candidly, and yet your focus is not on yourself. You use your experiences in order to point people to principles that can really impact their lives, don't you?
Well, that's my goal, and God's been really blessed me. He's given me worlds of opportunities and surrounded me, as he has you in your life. He's surrounded mm-hmm. us with a lot of wonderful people. Yeah, and but he's given me a lot of opportunities. Some of them I didn't take advantage of as much as I should have. Some of them I probably blew the opportunity. But the book has 260 different of these thoughts for Tuesday. That it only takes you about a minute or so to read them. Most of them are followed by scripture or quotes that are basically based on scripture. Mm-hmm. So I've been really blessed to have some broad experiences in a lot of places with a lot of really wonderful people.
Well, and I appreciate the fact that on the one hand, as you say, it probably just takes a minute or so to read each installment, but then that's not the end of it for the day.
No.
You know, it's like a seed that gets planted and then that starts to grow, doesn't it?
That's my desire. I wanted to plant the seed. I had a former pastor that actually wrote a testimonial in here, and it pretty much summed up better than I could what I was attempting to do. If you don't mind me reading it,
please,
very quickly.
Please.
He said, "You have always challenged me to see with extraordinary vision," and I'll shorten it a little bit, "and to look for the less than obvious." And he said, mm-hmm. he prayed that God would allow him to constantly get better every day at the things that matter the most. And I thought that was a very, you know, kind of a nugget view of what I was hoping would happen. And I had a lot of respect for that pastor. He's at a different church now than he was mm-hmm. when he wrote that recently. But and that's the purpose, to help, you know, plant a seed and let that seed grow every day, and hope that we mature with it, you know, and hope that it'll, of the 260 thoughts that are in there, hopefully some of them, you know, connect with various people. You know, there's a variety of thoughts in there in this book.
Well, you were really inspired to do this by the hymn, Higher Ground.
Correct.
Talk with us about that, because there are, I mean, you know, a lot of people sing songs in church, and the words don't seem to really penetrate their consciousness. It's just rote. But
right.
that hymn really spoke to you, and you realized, I can not only, you know, appreciate these concepts, I can implement these concepts.
Right. I don't know what age it struck me, but at some point I told myself that if I ever started a business, a company of some sort, I wanted to name it after the first verse of Higher Ground, which is Higher Ground, of course, the song,
yeah.
written back long ago in the 1890s, I think. And the verse just said to me what I wanted to be happening, basically. And it said, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." I had a burden to keep improving, to keep getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to incorporate it in Georgia as Higher Ground Incorporated, but there was a lawn maintenance organization that had that title. They already were incorporated. So I was telling myself, I want to get better every day. So that one was not taken. Getting Better Every Day Incorporated was available.
Very good.
Does business as Higher Ground.
Yeah.
And it gave me, I didn't have it all fleshed out as you know, you've done a lot of things with books and mm-hmm. your organization and things, and you've got the core of what you're looking for, but you haven't fleshed all of it out. And some of that just came to me. God doesn't give it all to us at one time. I'm sure you told people
Amen.
That.
Amen.
And, but it kept coming to me in ways that I can use this to start almost any speech I might make.
Mm-hmm.
I can use this to approach an athlete who must keep improving.
Yes.
You know, because it says I'm pressing on an upward way, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm gaining new heights. So I can use the verse to grab their attention right where they are. You know, if it's a student, whatever walk of life they're in, basically, most people want to get better. Mm-hmm. They may not want they may not want to get educated. They may not want to learn to, you know, do some of those kinds of things, or go through some regimen of whatever, that type of thing. But almost everybody wants to be better at something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to use that to grab people's attention, to reach them. And, you know, and I would start almost everything, if I didn't skip over it accidentally, I would start with something. That first thing I would pause and say, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at this from a Christian standpoint. Mm-hmm. But it also helps you as it be a better teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to get better every day.
Yes.
And it would open the door that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, Lord, you know, lift me up. Let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lift me up and let me stand. And faith, it just had so many things, ingredients to it.
Yes.
You know, planting your feet on higher ground means you got better.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that seemed fairly universal, that people want to get better, you know. They may not want training or education or whatever sometimes, but they want to get better. Mm-hmm. Those other words, just sometimes they had a bad experience with their school. They had a bad experience with some training they took somewhere, but they've hardly ever had a bad experience with getting better. So it worked beyond, it became a better title than I ever thought it would, to be
honest.
That's
great. That's great. Well, and it seems to me that in that hymn, there's also repeated emphasis on the relationship with the Lord. This is not something that we're just going to go out there and you know, grit it out, do our best, make it happen. There's an appeal to the Lord. Lord, lift me up.
Yeah, I think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 when
yes.
it comes around, kind of, you know.
Exactly.
Not lean on yourself, you know, but seek God, and, you know, he's the one that leads us to that.
Amen.
And allows that to happen, provides for it.
Right? Amen.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know, I've been so grateful for the numerous testimonies of Christian athletes that have become so ubiquitous, it seems, that a lot of the networks and reporters have just tried to edit stuff out because they're tired of all these athletes after they win wanting to start out by giving praise to the Lord.
Right.
And I saw where the coach of the Celtics apparently got a sweatshirt that had that on the front, on the cover, of the sweatshirt, the front of his sweatshirt, that said essentially, let me begin by giving all praise to God.
It made it
a lot harder to edit his remarks because he'd already put them in writing on the screen.
Right. I think you're seeing more that he had it on his shirt where they couldn't miss it hardly. They had to do something, but that's neat. But it does seem to be more athletes now. I mean, you look at some of the teams, even, you know, and quite a few college baseball, softball teams have prayer with the other team after a game sometimes, right after a playoff game and that type of thing. They go out to the mound and, you know, make a circle. Or the Oklahoma girls softball team prayed with, President Trump when he was in office as the president. And I'm getting politics out of this. You can vote for who you want. I mean, but they asked him, could they say a prayer in the White House with him, you know, and he did, you know, and I think the Department of whoever Secretary of Education was in the picture with it too, kind of thing. And, you know, I think you're getting bolder, which is great, you know.
Well, because ultimately, if we're not in relationship with the Lord and if we're not relying on the Lord, then whatever success we gain in this life is like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, it's just,
that's right.
It's not going to last. It's not going to last. Jesus said,
temporary.
What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his
right.
soul? And so I appreciate the fact that, you know, you didn't attempt to disguise your faith, in this book. It permeates this book. And even your acknowledgement, from the start, that you really were inspired by that hymn that you heard
right.
growing up, because
right.
God does call us to growth. Yeah, I think of a guy like the Apostle Paul, who in Philippians says, you know, he's laying out for us what we ought to be aiming for, and then he says, now, I haven't already achieved all this or already been made perfect, but here's what I do. I am pressing on, straining toward the goal to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And if we are looking at Paul's life and saying, wow, he felt he still had a lot of growing to do, maybe there's room for me to improve. You know?
I think there's a lot for me. I mean, Paul was about as, quote, good as you could get, if you want
yes.
to say it that way. And as strong a Christian as you could find, and yet he's saying he's of course the Bible calls that trash, basically, sometimes garbage, you know, at times.
Yep.
What we can do,
yes,
but we can press on,
absolutely,
you know? And I try to use those two words quite often now in things like, you know, when a text is very short, a lot of times, but you know, if I'm sending something to somebody about their birthday or something, a lot of times I'll put, you know, stay strong, press on, God loves you.
Amen.
Like that, to end it with, or something along. I know that's, you know, a small thing, but it was this very short nugget that the Celtics coach put on his shirt.
Man. That's right.
You know, Tim Tebow, just 316.
Yes.
And then millions of people start looking for finding 316.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
You know, what does that mean? Where does that come from?
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, that's great. Now you've opened the door.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good point.
Well, I think, you know, again, your book encourages people not to just settle for what has already been done, not to just settle for where they are, and not to just sit around and complain and wish for something more. You're giving people good counsel about how to press on. And, you know, again, I can open this just about anywhere, and the counsel that's given is a help. When I went to a high school tournament last week, John Pinson's email directions to the fields in Baconton, Georgia, included, quote, one enters. Did I get the town right?
Yeah, Baconton is one. Yeah, right, where they were trying to tell me how to get somewhere.
Yeah, one intersection right. Beyond a fairly new country store that closed but is now being reopened, turn into a pecan grove. Later, yeah. He rephrased, go to store that is or is not there anymore.
Right.
Go through a pecan grove. Fortunately, in early morning light, I spotted the is or is not store, made the turn, and enjoyed a terrific day at the fields of the pecan grove. It struck me that much of softball and much of life are about used to be's and gonna be's. The country store used to be open and is gonna be open again. How did you used to do things in the past? How are you gonna do things in the future? Should you change what you used to do? Is there a better way that you are going to use? Carefully consider your used-to-bes and gonna-bes. Let's determine that our gonna-bes are going to be better than our used-to-bes. Get better every day. Now, again, that's a very engaging, simple thought, but it helps people to stop thinking, this is the way I've always done it, so I guess that's the way I have to do it. We don't have to keep doing what we've always done the way we've always done it. And so I want to, again, encourage our listeners. The book is Thoughts for Tuesday, Gold Medal Wisdom for Life by Bobby Simpson. Bobby, where should they get hold of this book?
They can go to our website. The easiest place is go to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That's like for a lot of books. We also have a website that has some of the thoughts already in it that you
yeah.
can read, some samples if you want to, you know, find some samples. It's got some testimonials from people and things like that. And our website's just www.bobbysimpsonbooks.com.
Excellent.
And then if you go to Amazon, you can put my name or the name of the book or anything close to that, you know, and you can find it. So it's Thoughts for Tuesday, Gold Medal Wisdom for Life.
Well, I'm going to share, again, one of the things that you mentioned here. Enjoy 260 quick read lessons and become wiser as you, and here are five categories. Prepare paths for people and people for paths. Discover joy in small moments that have a big impact. Overcome obstacles through encouragement and kindness. Learn to communicate through the language of the listener. Explore lessons that we can learn from those who finish last. I think that's a great summary of perspectives that hopefully will encourage people to do better, because you can. You can do better. If you think you're as good as it gets, you've got a really long way to go. But if you realize that there's room for improvement, Bobby is willing to help coach you so that you do better. And one of the first things you've got to know is call out to the Lord and ask him to lift you up.
Exactly. This has no significance without that, really.
Amen. 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 Now, Bobby, you have lived in Georgia most of your life, haven't you?
Correct. I was I coached at Florida State baseball for 3 years, but I was a Georgia resident during that time. So basically Georgia all my life.
Yeah. And in the midst of it, you've seen a lot of change. When I moved to Georgia in 1985, I met more Northerners in my first, I would say the first month that I was in Atlanta. I met more Northerners than I met when I was in Massachusetts.
Actually, I think you lived in Sandy Springs.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, my daughter lived there for a short period of time after college. So
yeah, well, it's just, it's amazing how, and I'm thinking you have seen this more clearly than a lot of people get to, because a lot of people don't live in one place long enough to realize it. But you have seen how that state changed and how our country is changing. And yet in the midst of it, there are a lot of people who the biggest thing that they seem motivated to do is try and resist change. And what your book does is flip that on its head and say, instead of focusing on trying to resist change, how about making positive changes? How about looking for ways to do better, to be stronger? And if you do that in partnership with the Lord, you can not only improve your life, but you can improve the lives of others. And that's what my guest Bobby has done. He has sought to use the wisdom and to use the lessons he's learned in order to help other people improve their lives. So I want to encourage you, our listeners, if you're struggling right now with the thought of, oh my goodness, there's so much change all around me, I don't know how I'm supposed to swim in this strong current, realize that God has you where you need to be for a reason. And it's not just about survival. It's about being a blessing to others. So I encourage you to reach out to him, even as that him encourages us to do. Cry out to the Lord, Lord, lift me up and help me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. In Ephesians 1, it says we're seated with him in heavenly places. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ, your real home is in heaven. This is a temporary assignment. You're here on mission, and you need to be trusting in the Lord that he's got you where he wants you, and he can move you in a minute. But cry out to the Lord and ask him to lift you up and to help you to stand, and then to press on, to go forward, and to be a blessing to others. Bobby, I'll let you have the last word.
I've just really enjoyed our conversation, Jim, and hope we have more conversations. And your idea about change, that's what God is. He's in the business of making the good changes in us. And so such great points you brought out today. I enjoyed listening to the mini sermon you delivered today.
Oh, bless you. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you, sir.
You too.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.